So what if the cure for human blindness was currently buried in a puddle of mud outside your house?
It sounds like science fiction, right?
It really does. But welcome to today's Deep Dives, everyone. Today we are looking at two highly advanced research papers that honestly prove biology is no longer just about, microscopes and petri dishes.
Yeah, it has completely become an information science.
Exactly. We're going to show you how one independent researcher used these cutting-edge computational pipelines to map the social networks of breast cancer. And then he used that exact same digital mindset to hunt through the dirt for a cure to cellular aging.
It is a remarkable pivot to witness, honestly. Both of these papers were published back in May 2026 by an independent researcher named Klaus Holmgren.
Right.
And on the surface, I mean, mapping the architecture of a tumor and searching for anti-aging enzymes sound like they belong in entirely different scientific disciplines.
Totally different worlds.
Exactly. But the underlying engine for both of these discoveries is exactly the same. We are looking at a masterclass in applying artificial intelligence, graph neural networks, and predictive modeling to solve biology's most complex structural problems.
And we want to give you a front row seat to this shift, because once you realize that DNA, cellular structures, and proteins are essentially just data, they're just code, you realize that code can be hacked.
Yes.
Like, we can write algorithms to navigate a tumor, and we can run simulations to find enzymes that reverse aging. So let's start with that first paper, which focuses on breast cancer.
Right.
Specifically, it targets something called the tumor microenvironment, or the TME.
Yeah, and the tumor microenvironment is a crucial concept to grasp if you want to understand modern cancer research at all.
It is not just a lump of bad cells, right?
Exactly. For a long time, the public perception of a tumor was simply this chaotic mass of mutated cancer cells just aggressively dividing. But a tumor is actually a highly structured, complex ecosystem. Yes, you have the malignant cancer cells, obviously. But those cancer cells are actively recruiting and manipulating a whole host of other cells around them.
So it's like they're building their own little city.
They really are. You have stromal cells providing structural support, fibroblasts building the extracellular matrix, and various immune cells that are either trying to fight the cancer or, and this happens a lot, they've been hijacked to protect it.
Right. And understanding how all those different cells interact is the key to breaking the tumor's defenses.
Yeah.
But historically, scientists ran into a massive roadblock when trying to study that ecosystem.
A huge one.
Yeah. The gold standard for figuring out what cells are present in a tissue sample is this technique called single-cell RNA sequencing, which is an incredibly powerful tool for profiling the genetic material of individual cells.
It is.
But it has a fatal flaw, right? Because to run the sequence, you have to completely dissolve the tissue.
Yeah, you have to dissociate it. You literally chemically break the bonds that hold the cells together until you are left with a liquid suspension of individual cells.
I always think of it like a beautifully layered fruit tart. Traditional single-cell RNA sequencing is like taking that complex fruit tart and just throwing it into a blender to make a smoothie.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right, because sure, you can run an analysis on the smoothie and confidently say, oh, we have strawberries, blueberries, and some pastry crust in here. But you have completely lost the
You
architecture.
have no idea where anything came from.
Exactly. You have
Yeah.
no idea if the blueberries were clustered in the center or if the strawberries were forming a protective wall around the crust.
And in cancer biology, that geographical context is everything. The physical location of a cell dictates its function. How a T cell behaves depends entirely on what it is physically touching at that moment.
That makes total sense.
Right. If an immune cell is trapped in the dense outer stroma of a tumor, it is operating under completely different biochemical signals than an immune cell that has successfully infiltrated the tumor core.
And that is exactly where the technology utilized in this first paper just changes the game
It
completely.
really does.
It uses spatial transcriptomics, specifically a platform called 10x Genomics Visium, which allows us to analyze the fruit tart intact.
Tell them about the scale of this, because the physical engineering behind this platform is wild.
It is mind-blowing. It relies on an incredibly precise microscopic grid. The researchers take an intact, frozen slice of the breast cancer tissue and lay it directly over this grid.
Okay.
And the grid is covered in thousands of tiny capture spots. Each one of these spots is just 55 micrometers wide.
Which is tiny.
It's roughly half the width of a human hair. And each spot contains millions of chemical barcodes. So when the tissue is placed on the grid, the RNA from the cells in that exact location binds to the barcodes.
Wow.
So the platform can measure exactly which genes are turned on or off at each specific 55 micrometer spot while preserving the exact geographical coordinates of those signals.
So it's essentially creating a Google Maps interface for a tumor.
But it's not just a static satellite image showing you where the buildings are. It's a dynamic map where you can literally see the biological blueprint being read inside those buildings at that exact moment.
Yeah.
You can see the immune cells clustering near a blood vessel, and you have their exact coordinates.
But generating that level of spatial data creates a monumental computational challenge.
Oh, I bet. It's a sea of data.
Yeah, you are dealing with thousands of spots, each expressing thousands of different genes. And this is where Holmgren built a fascinating six-stage computational pipeline to make sense of the avalanche of data.
And it starts with rigorous quality control, right?
Yes, very rigorous. For example, he had to filter out data spots that showed a disproportionately high mitochondrial fraction.
Which, you know, might sound like an obscure detail to some, but there's a really elegant biological reason for doing that.
There is.
When a cell is dying or under extreme stress, its fragile outer membrane often becomes compromised. And the cytoplasm, which holds a lot of the standard RNA, just leaks out of the cell.
It spills right out.
Exactly. But mitochondria are tough. They are double-membraned organelles. They tend to stay intact even as the cell falls apart.
Right.
So if your data shows a spot with a massive spike in mitochondrial RNA, it's not because the cell is suddenly pumping it out. It's because all the other RNA leaked away. You have to throw that data point out or it will completely skew your map.
It's exactly the kind of data hygiene required before you can do any real analysis. So once the data was clean, he moved to a tool called Cell2 Location to figure out exactly what was sitting on each 55 micrometer spot.
Because half a hair's width is small, but it can still hold multiple cells.
Right, it's still large enough to contain a handful of different cells clumped together. Cell2 Location uses a Bayesian method to solve this. For the listener, you can think of a Bayesian method as an engine of probability.
Right. It doesn't just guess blindly. It takes a prior assumption and constantly updates its best guess based on the new evidence it sees.
Exactly. And in this case, the prior assumption is a massive pre-existing reference atlas created by other researchers, which contains data from over 15,000 individually sequenced breast cancer cells.
Wow. 15,000.
Yeah. The software looks at the mixed genetic signals coming from one 55 micrometer spot, references that 15,000 cell atlas, and calculates the most statistically probable combination of cells that would produce that specific signal.
That is so cool.
It might determine that a single spot is, say, 60% tumor cell, 30% fibroblast, and 10% macrophage.
So figuring out what cells are sitting on the grid is only half the battle. Stage 6 of this pipeline is where the real paradigm shift happens.
Oh, absolutely.
This is where the paper introduces a graph neural network, or a GNN. If you want to visualize how this artificial intelligence works, just think of the tumor tissue like a spatial social network.
That is the perfect framework. In a digital social network, you have user profiles, and you have the connections between those users, like who is friends with whom. In mathematics, we call the profiles nodes and the friend connections edges. The AI in this paper treats the biological tissue the exact same way.
So every 55 micrometer spot on that grid becomes a node. The genetic profile of that spot is the user profile. And the physical distance between the spots, who is physically sitting right next to whom, creates the edges.
Yes. The specific architecture used here is a two-layer graph convolutional network. And what makes a GCN so powerful is that it doesn't analyze a single node in isolation.
It looks at the context.
Exactly. It aggregates data from the surrounding neighborhood. It looks at the spatial gene expression graph and mathematically blends the information of a spot with the information of all its physical neighbors.
Okay, so it learns the neighborhood structure.
Exactly. As a result, the AI was able to predict the broader tissue domains, identifying the solid tumor core, the surrounding stroma, and the invading immune infiltrates purely by looking at how genes were expressed and who was physically adjacent to whom.
That is incredible. It mapped the architecture of breast cancer using the same underlying mathematics that a social media algorithm uses to recommend you new friends.
Yeah, it is wild.
It successfully deduced the structure of the biological battlefield just from gene expressions and spatial adjacency.
Which is a masterpiece of data synthesis, but the broader implication is what makes this so exciting. So Holmgren essentially proved you can use AI to map the complex social network of a tumor.
Right.
But the beauty of treating biology purely as code is that code is completely agnostic. Once you know how to use computational pipelines to map a disease, you can use those exact same digital tools to hunt for a weapon to destroy a completely different disease.
A total pivot.
Yeah. Let's look at how we aimed this tech at cellular aging.
Right, so we were pivoting from mapping breast cancer to literally cleaning up cellular garbage. And this garbage has a name, lipofuscin.
Lipofuscin, yes.
It is one of the most significant yet frequently overlooked drivers of the aging process in the human body.
To understand why lipofuscin is so dangerous, you really have to look at how a healthy cell maintains itself. Your cells are essentially tiny cities, and they have their own waste management facilities called lysosomes.
A cellular stomach.
Exactly. It is packed with acidic enzymes that constantly break down and recycle old, damaged proteins and lipids. But lipofuscin is different. It is a highly oxidized, heavily cross-linked mixture of biological waste that is fundamentally indigestible.
We just don't have the tools.
Right. Human enzymes simply lack the chemical ability to break it apart.
So because the lysosome can't digest it and the cell can't expel it, it just sits there. It builds up.
Just accumulates.
And what makes that so dangerous is that in long-lived cells that do not regularly divide, like the neurons in your brain, your heart muscle cells, and the retinal cells in your eyes, there is no way to dilute that trash by splitting into new cells.
No escape valve.
Right. This garbage accumulates over decades.
And the lysosomes become increasingly engorged with lipofuscin until they are functionally useless. Eventually, they can become so stuffed that they physically rupture inside the cell, spilling their acidic contents and triggering inflammatory cell death.
Which is terrifying.
It is a primary mechanism behind several major age-related diseases.
And the paper focuses on two specific molecular villains trapped inside this trash heap. The first is a molecule called A2E.
Oh, yes.
This is a massive culprit in age-related macular degeneration, which is a leading cause of blindness. And the tragedy of A2E is where it comes from.
It's quite ironic.
It really is. It is a pyridinium bisretinoid, which is a very dense way of saying it's the toxic byproduct of your visual cycle.
Right.
Every time a photon of light hits your retina and your eye processes that light so you can see, a tiny amount of metabolic waste is generated. Over a lifetime, that waste cross-links into A2E, slowly blinding the cells that allow you to see in the first place.
It's tragic. And the second villain the paper targets is 7-ketocholesterol.
The bad cholesterol.
Very bad. As the name suggests, this is an oxidized, highly toxic form of cholesterol. It is incredibly bulky and disruptive. When it builds up in the lipofuscin of your neurons, it leads to neurodegeneration.
Wow.
Yeah, and when it accumulates in the walls of your arteries, it drives the formation of atherosclerotic plaques, leading to heart disease.
There is a deep, tragic irony here.
Mm-hmm.
Just being alive, just seeing the sunlight, just metabolizing the lipids you need to survive slowly fills your cells with toxic trash.
Exactly.
And our human DNA simply does not contain the software update required to make an enzyme that can clean it up. We are biologically blind to this waste.
Which is where the second paper introduces a truly brilliant paradigm called the lysosense strategy. SNNS stands for Strategies for Engineered Negligible Senescence.
That is a mouthful.
It is. But it's basically a framework for repairing the root causes of aging rather than just treating the symptoms. And the logic behind the lysosense strategy is elegantly simple. Soil bacteria are the ultimate planetary recyclers.
Because for billions of years, soil microbes have had to survive by digesting the toughest, most complex, highly oxidized organic matter that dead plants and animals leave behind in the dirt.
Precisely. The evolutionary pressure on soil bacteria is immense. So the hypothesis is that surely, somewhere in the vast microbial diversity of the soil, a bacterium has already evolved an enzyme capable of breaking apart the chemical bonds in our cellular trash.
The answer is in the mud.
Literally. Yeah. If we can find that specific bacterial enzyme, we could theoretically deliver it into human lysosomes to clear out the lipofuscin, essentially giving ourselves a biological software patch downloaded from the dirt.
But you can't just go outside, scoop up some mud, and start blindly injecting it into human cells to see what happens.
No, absolutely not.
That would take a million years of trial and error, not to mention it would be incredibly toxic. So Holmgren ran a virtual screen. He used a computational pipeline to hunt for the needle in the haystack without ever touching a petri dish or a microscope.
And the methodology of this virtual hunt is where the computational revelation really shines. He started by querying the UniProt database, which is a massive open source digital library of protein sequences.
Right.
He filtered through it to find 123 bacterial enzymes that seemed chemically related to our target garbage things like cholesterol dehydrogenases that microbes use to digest environmental sterols.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then he needed to know what these enzymes actually looked like in three-dimensional space, so he used AlphaFold.
And AlphaFold is the artificial intelligence system developed by Google DeepMind. And it completely revolutionized structural biology.
It really did.
Because it solves the protein folding problem. It doesn't just guess a shape. It looks at evolutionary data, comparing how amino acid sequences have mutated across different species over millions of years to predict how a string of genetic code will physically fold into a complex 3D molecular machine.
Exactly. So he grabbed the highly accurate 3D predicted structures for all 123 bacterial enzymes. Then he took the 3D structures of our two villains, A2E and 7-keto cholesterol, to see if the enzymes could actually grab the waste. He used a molecular docking simulation software called AutoDockVena. He basically ran a thermodynamic simulation to see how well the bacterial enzymes would physically bind to the toxic molecules, testing 246 different receptor ligand pairs.
Okay, wait. I have to push back here for a second because I know you're probably thinking the exact same thing while listening to this.
Go ahead.
AutoDockVena just measures how well a molecule fits into a pocket on the enzyme. It is measuring physical space and binding energy.
Yes.
It's like measuring how perfectly a key fits into a lock or how well a car fits into a highly specific garage. But just because I can park my car perfectly inside a garage doesn't mean the garage is going to dismantle my car.
That is a great point.
Binding a molecule is not the same thing as having the enzymatic activity to actually destroy it, right?
You are touching on a fundamental principle of structural biology there, and that is the exact caveat Holmgren explicitly highlights in the paper.
Oh, he does?
Yes. AutoDockVena is an approximation. The simulation measures binding affinity in kilocalories per mole, estimating the thermodynamic stability of the interaction. You are completely right that grabbing the molecule doesn't guarantee the enzyme will actually chew up the waste.
Okay.
However, strong binding is a strict, non-negotiable prerequisite for degradation. An enzyme absolutely cannot destroy a molecule that it cannot physically hold on to.
Right. It's step one. You can't dismantle the car if you can't get it into the garage.
Exactly. And the author is very transparent about the limitations. AlphaFold might have slight inaccuracies in the flexible loop regions of the proteins, and docking simulations are never perfect replacements for physical reality.
Of course.
This virtual screen is not claiming to have magically found the final guaranteed cure for aging. It is a prioritization tool.
Right.
It takes an impossibly large universe of potential enzymes and mathematically isolates the highest probability candidates so experimental biologists know exactly which dozen proteins to physically synthesize and test in a real laboratory.
Which makes perfect sense when you are dealing with this scale of biology. You need a rigorously vetted shortlist.
You really do.
And the shortlist this pipeline generated is thrilling. Let's look at the microbial MVPs. Out of the 246 pairs tested in the simulation, 90 of them showed excellent binding free energies.
And to give you some context for the metrics here, in molecular docking, a binding affinity below negative 9.0 kilocalories per mole is generally considered an excellent lock and key fit.
Okay.
The lower the negative number, the tighter and more stable the grip. The absolute highest scoring candidate in the entire screen scored a massive negative 11.19 against 7-keto cholesterol.
Yeah, that is a tight grip.
It is gripping that toxic lipid with incredible strength. And surprisingly, it came from an enzyme called a retinol dehydrogenase, found in a bacterium named Legionella phalloni.
Which is biologically poetic, honestly.
Oh, much so.
Legionella is an intracellular pathogen. It is a bacteria that literally infects human cells.
Mm.
Specifically, it survives and replicates inside the lysosomes of our immune macrophages. So the ironies just keep piling up. An infectious bacterium that evolved to invade our cellular stomachs might actually contain the genetic secret to clearing out the cholesterol waste that causes our aging.
It makes perfect evolutionary sense when you think about it. Because Legionella lives inside our cellular compartments, it has spent millions of years evolving enzymes to interact with our specific lipid environment.
That is wild.
It is. But while the Legionella enzyme had the highest single score, there was another candidate that emerged from the screen that is arguably much more strategically important for a potential therapy.
Oh, yes. The multi-tool. The dual threat enzyme.
Yes. It is a 3-oxosteroid delta-1 dehydrogenase, and it comes from a soil bacterium called Amygdalopsis rifamycinica.
Another great name.
What makes this specific enzyme the holy grail of this virtual screen is that it scored incredibly well for both targets. It hit negative 10.08 for the toxic cholesterol and negative 9.83 for the blindness causing A2E.
And that is crucial because, as we established earlier, lipofuscin is a total mess.
Yeah, it's a mix of everything.
It is a highly chemically heterogeneous pile of garbage. A2E is a long, extended chain molecule, while 7-ketocholesterol has a bulky, rigid ring structure.
Totally different shapes.
Right. So finding one single enzyme that has a binding pocket, broad and flexible enough to accommodate both of those radically different structures, is a massive win.
Huge win.
Because if you want to clear out a biological landfill, you want a versatile multi-tool, not just a highly specific screwdriver.
And we have historical precedents to back up why this bacterium might possess such a versatile tool. Amygdalopsis belongs to a class of bacteria known as actinobacteria.
Yeah.
And they are famous among microbiologists for their ability to completely degrade highly complex, sterile-based compounds in the soil. So the biochemical plausibility that this enzyme can actually dismantle our cellular waste is very high.
That is incredibly promising. So through the power of computational biology, we have the map of the disease,
yeah.
We have identified the targets, and now we have a highly vetted shortlist of biological weapons.
We do.
What is the roadmap? Where does this research go from the digital realm back into the physical world?
The paper outlines a very clear, actionable set of next steps for the experimental biologists. First, they need to physically synthesize the actual genes for these top-ranking enzymes and express them in a lab using E. coli.
Right, the standard protocol.
Once you have the physical proteins, you put them in a test tube with synthetic A2E and 7-ketocholesterol. But crucially, you have to run this physical test at a highly acidic pH around 4.5 or 5.0.
Oh, because that mimics the harsh, acidic environment of a human lysosome.
Exactly.
If the bacterial enzyme works perfectly in a neutral environment but unfolds and breaks down in acid, it is completely useless to us inside our cellular stomachs.
Precisely. It must survive the acid test. And if these enzymes successfully degrade the toxic waste in the tube, the final hurdle is delivery.
Getting where it needs to go.
Right. You have to get the medicine to the exact right address inside the human cell. To do that, scientists would need to engineer a targeting signal onto these bacterial enzymes.
Okay, like a biological zip code.
Exactly like that. Specifically, they would attach a molecule called mannose-6-phosphate. You can think of mannose-6-phosphate as a cellular postal barcode. When the human cell detects that barcode on a protein, it automatically packages it up and mails it directly into the lysosome, right where the lipofuscin is trapped.
It is truly phenomenal to step back and look at the scope of what we've covered today.
It really spans so much.
It does. To briefly recap the journey we've taken you on today, we started by looking at how you can use artificial intelligence and graph neural networks to treat a breast cancer tumor like a spatial social network, predicting its exact structural vulnerabilities purely from the geographic coordinates of gene expression.
Yeah.
And then we smoothly transitioned to using AlphaFold and virtual molecular docking to screen thousands of variations of soil bacteria, hunting down the elusive evolutionary enzymes that might finally clear the toxic trash of aging from our cells.
What both of these papers by Klaas Holmgren fundamentally demonstrate is that biology is rapidly and irreversibly becoming an information science.
It really is.
We are no longer just observing cells under a microscope and hoping to find a chemical that works. We are using open source tools, Python, AutoDoc, AlphaFold, to logically engineer solutions to the deepest, most complex vulnerabilities of the human body.
It fundamentally changes how you look at the natural world around you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder today, spinning off that Lysosens aging paper.
Let's hear it.
Think about this. If this specific strategy actually works, the ultimate cure for the inevitable diseases of aging, for macular degeneration, for atherosclerosis, for neurodegeneration, might not be some synthetic chemical cooked up from scratch in a pristine multi-billion-dollar laboratory.
Right.
It might be a microscopic digestive blueprint that we simply downloaded from a random puddle of mud.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, what other ancient microscopic software is just sitting out there in the soil right now, completely unnoticed, just waiting for the right AI to discover it?
That is the exact question driving the next decade of computational discovery.
Absolutely. Well, keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep looking at the world a little differently. We will catch you in the next deep dive.